This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome to the CEN show, where you hear the voice of the world community. This platform is a platform that reaches out to the community to get different voices so we can learn from everybody versus just learning from people that's been, you know, that has these titles and all of this and that. We're going to learn from everybody because we want to get a holistic education. So this is why we have this platform. So let me introduce the panel this evening. We have Professor Ra here. He's our master teacher. We got Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana. He's another master teacher. We got our tech person on here, J.S. Nelson. She's the one responsible for all of our website information and everything to do with the website. I'm glad she's here this evening. We have Sister Making It Happen, the new host of a podcast on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. I know that she's doing all of this month, and then hereafter, she will be doing, I think, once a month. So we have a financial literacy podcast that's going on. And then we have one of our longtime members, Sister Aziza, that's been with us since we started. I'm glad she's back. She took a little break, take care of other responsibilities, but she's back. And then I'm your host, Rasaki Maskani. This evening, we have a gentleman that taught my daughter high school calculus, and I appreciate him very much. He's also a baseball coach and a teacher. As I mentioned, he was her calculus teacher. And tonight's topic is a panel discussion about Blacks in technology. So I would like to introduce to everybody Brother Sterling Jones. How you doing this evening, sir?
Man, I'm doing good. I appreciate the amazing introduction, Mr. Moore. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. But I'm feeling fine. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Black and good.
Doing well.
I'll just tell us
a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I've been in education over a decade now, 13 years. I started as a substitute teacher and a coach, got my teaching credential, and I taught math pretty much the whole way through. A few years back, this was maybe 5 years back, I would get the age-old question. Kids would say, well, why do I need this? Why do I need to learn this, right? And in the beginning, my response was always, well, there's an SAT and you know, it's the odds are stacked against us and we can't get into college without passing this SAT. And through the years, I became bored with this. So I told myself, I went on this journey. I said, hey, if I can't tell kids what math is for, then who else would do it, right? So I went on this journey and it kind of led me to, I learned about science and digital marketing and business optimization of prices and even graphics and gaming. And it led me to understand how math was connected to all of these new aspects of our new world, from virtual reality to how the radars work on a self-driving car on a Tesla. And it really led me to this point that I said, hey, right now, all this new technology that we're seeing in the last 20 years that seems to keep, like, it keeps growing. Every time we think this thing is going to slow down, it keeps going. And I said, as a Black community, we've actually almost been positioned in this new world that we can't do anything but be consumers of it because we're not excelling in math and sciences and technology in high school. And you think America is having a tough time competing internationally with the Chinas, with the Indias, with some of the African countries, with the Dubais. And if we're in last place at this point in America, we're going to have a tough time building a Black community infrastructure that is any sort of independent, has any sort of power as we move forward in this millennium. And so it just made me think about it would be good conversation for us to talk about where the world is going in this technology and how we stand as a Black community and how we evolve in this ever-changing world. So that's kind of what I wanted to, you know, us all just bounce ideas and have good discussion about tonight in tonight's podcast.
Okay, well, I guess we need to jump right into it. So what I'm going to do, I will go to some of the tech people that's here. J.S. Nelson.
Yeah. Hey.
So now you're into technology. You're a tech person. What can you say about what he just said as far as Blacks having a strong infrastructure and technology to be able to compete, I guess, compete in the world or hang? What can you say about that?
I agree with what he says. And part of the reason I think is because, like you said, I think they think that the math part is too hard or the technical part can be a lot, because even with my own son, he's taking cybersecurity right now, and I'm having to help him a lot. So it's just a lot for them to figure out. But you know, they
okay. We're not hearing you clearly. You're kind of going in and out.
I guess more guidance and help to let them know that.
Well, I'll come back to you. Okay, Sister Aziza.
Yes.
I know that you kind of dabble working with these computers. And what can you say as far as, I know it kind of went to the student level, where we J.S. Nelson just told us about how the students, you know, are being, you know, challenged by the curriculum when it comes to school. But what do you have to say about what he said?
Yeah, well, from my experience, my major originally when I got into college was computer science. Why did I choose that subject? I don't know, I guess to be into computers. And the reason why it was no longer my major is true. It was because it was a lot of math. I kind of stopped at geometry and never went no further. Math was my favorite subject, but I know that's besides the question, but yeah, I think the curriculum for being into computers and being, you know, let's say advanced, because like he said, it's advancing all the time or whatever. It was in today, tomorrow is something totally new. So it's going to take a competitive, you know, mind frame, I think, to like stick with it and, you know, want to do it personally. And that's pretty much all I got to say.
Okay. Thanks for that. All right. Brother Mashinda, I know you used to teach computers and teach technological subjects. Brother Mashinda?
Yeah, I'd like to welcome the guests. You know, I agree wholeheartedly what I've heard thus far. You know, it's in terms of, you know, the digital divide that he's explaining, that we're seem like as a people, we're being left behind. And we need to play catch up, you know. And one of my reasons for even getting involved into technology, from an entry level standpoint, I would say, I was actually dabbling. I bought a Mac computer years ago, was doing some graphics, printing t-shirts and understanding, you know, I had a mentor who taught me Photoshop, Illustrator, those kind of graphic softwares. And which, you know, I got excited about, made me a little money and kind of became a novice graphic designer. Of course, there are a lot more artists than I am. I can't draw, but I can come up with concepts and things, but learn that business to a certain degree. And I've been out of that business for a little while right now, but plan on getting back into it. But I decided to, working with kids and institutions, and then getting into education and counseling a few kids that are in trouble. I was sitting around, I said, you know, the light came on and said, we're in the 21st century and I needed to go back to school to learn. You know, I'm becoming an elder. I guess I'm an elder, you know, but still I'm just getting started. That's the way I feel. And years ago I said, you know, I need to increase my knowledge base in terms of technology, like the brother's talking about. We need to, you know, even just as a citizen, to be able to keep up with the changes in technology, how we pay our bills, how we watch television, how we just basic functions of life. And so I decided to just go to school. I picked out a school. I said, I'm going to go to school here. And I researched it, and I already had a college degree, but my computer skills wasn't the greatest as far as just understanding the whole thing about technology. And of course, we talk about technology, you know, and the brother, I'm sure he can attest that it's vast. You know, you got programmers, you got different facets of technology. But I just wanted to, like I say, start from the basic computer operation and move forward. And I went to school for 22 months. And during that time, each month, I would increase my knowledge and got fired up. And I was an older student at the time. So I say that to say that, you know, it's never too late to get started. But next thing you know, I had about 10 industry-based certifications as it relates to the Microsoft products, you know, operating systems and servers, and got into the switches and routers and servers, started understanding the basics of that. And then I was like the top student in the class. So then I went to work with Gateway Computers, went to work for, you know, on the Gateway Computer account. Was working on that about 3 or 4 years and doing different things, troubleshooting, became a little supervisor of some teams. So I parlayed that basic knowledge into, I reinvented myself. And then I got a call from one of my teachers, my main teacher, and said, hey, there's a job open. I think you'll do well. He hired me. I worked as an information technology teacher for 14 years where I went to school just to do some basic learning. And so during that time, I, you know, of course, with my counseling background and things like that, I just wasn't there teaching computers. I was trying to impress upon the people that came before me, you have to learn this. You know, the youngsters, the different, you know, of course, community college, you know, the average student might be 30 years old. But at the end of the day, the ones that were serious, I mean, of course, I was working with the underdog, but to cut a long story short, because this podcast is, you know, we don't want to talk all night. I don't want to talk all night, but I have students that's making 2 or 3 times as much as I am right now, because I'm still with the school that I, you know, where I went. I'm working as, you know, in student affairs and doing some recruitment and, you know, from the graduation, you know, that kind of thing. All what's in between that, you know, doing a lot of things in that regard. But my point is, he's absolutely right that, you know, now technology is well, what I was doing in particular. Just trying to make them understand how the internet works, and then what's behind it, what's behind the scenes, what's on the back end, what's on the front end, you know. And at the end of the day, so I enjoyed that for 14 years. And like I said, it was an entry level program, but we had a lot of graduates, and I got several of them are doing well, and they call me all the time. The ones that took it seriously, I get calls 3-4 times a year, and they tell me what they're doing and things like that. So I feel proud of that, you know. But as a people, we must embrace that knowledge, you know. So, but anyway, I just wanted to ramble on about that, and I appreciate the brother coming on tonight. Brother Sterling, thank you.
No problem, man. Thank you. Thank you.
You on mute, Roger King.
Thank you. Sister Making It Happen.
Input. Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, how you doing, Hood?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
Okay. We're going to get to you, Brother Hood. Thanks for coming. All right.
Greetings, family, and welcome to our guests and everyone. This is a really important topic, and so I'm glad that, Brother Jones, that you're having us have this discussion today. We have a lot of experts on the panel in terms of just regular usage. I loved how Brother Mashenda talked about the daily usage of the technology and how you have to use it. You know, I was having a discussion with my husband a couple of days ago about, think about our grandparents who they never knew about digital money, you know? And so the future is really in our children's hands. And so we want them to grow and be expansive because we need them. They're our future, they're our legacy. And some of the places where this thing is headed, we won't be there, right? We won't see it. And so they have to be resourceful, and they have to be creative in how they enter into this realm of this technology and using it, because there's no way going backwards, you know, unless you're just going off the grid. But the moment, you know, you get in there, it's technology, because that's how the world is operating today. So whether it's, you know, direct deposit with your cash and you never touch it and you got to know how to get to your money, or again, like Brother Mishinda said, paying your bills online, or, you know, registering for your classes and Zooming in. So I was just really proud of Brother Rasaki putting this together, you know, because when everything shut down, we were kind of in that crossroads of who's going to jump on board and who's not. And this panelist, this group, we jumped on board. And so we've been learning and bumping our way through how to communicate through this medium and figuring out how to do podcasts and, you know, how to, you know, save videos. And so it's been really exciting. But behind the scenes, you need the programmers and the people who actually do the work. You got to have that math technology. You got to have that background. So we got to get to the door. You got to have some keys. And so you need that math, right? And, you know, we're walking mathematics, so we got to teach our children differently. They got to understand who they are, so they're not afraid of these subjects. You know, they're not afraid of these A through G classes. They're not afraid of what, you know, is our legacy. You know, when you do the research, you know, education comes from us as a people, right? And so we have to know thyself to get back into knowing how to study and knowing that the subjects are all interrelated. They're not separated out, and there's math and everything, and there's science and everything. And, you know, so we have to teach those things. Even when the computers, the AI, you know, I understand there was discussion about because there's so few of us in the field that as you try to swipe your hand under some of these things, they won't pick up your skin, your complexion, because the programmers are not in there programming, you know, our complexion. So we got to be mindful of all these things that are going automated. We have to be at the table to make sure that we're represented. So I appreciate Mr. Jones for, you know, pushing the athletes and pushing the students to not be afraid of math and challenge themselves. And, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So perhaps if you know, can go directly to computer science, you can get into something like new media and digital design. Well, that's also computers, right? It's another spin on it, right? And like Brother Mashinda said, you're dealing with the graphics and everything, and eventually it does come to a head and meet up. But we got to be at the table so that our perspective and our values are part of this creation that where we're headed. So that's what I want to contribute. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Sister
Megan.
Professor Ron?
Yeah, appreciate what's been said. If I understand correctly, I want to say Asante Sana to the brother for his presentation, Brother Sterling, and also for all the comments that been made. I just have a couple questions. Brother Sterling, you're on mute. You're going to respond. You know, technology is a broad area, and it enters in every aspect of life now. Is that correct?
Yes.
Hospital, police, sheriffs.
Grocery store and the self-checkout.
Everything. Just about. So therefore, you know, that's a challenge. When you say technology that we behind, what aspect are we behind?
Well,
I want us to be behind.
Well, I was just discussing this, and I see you got the Malcolm X book right behind you. And we, you know, those of us that are familiar, and I know you're probably familiar with Malcolm X, talking about in order for the Black community to be strong, we have to have a, you know, have our own schools, have our own infrastructure, our banks and things like that. Right. And I was sharing with a student because he asked me what I would be talking about on the podcast. I said there was a time that we could walk off the plantation and we had the skills to farm. We had the skills to build houses. We had the skills to build schools, and we could build a similar infrastructure for ourselves. Right. And you go to Tulsa, the Tulsa Black Wall Street in the 30s, that we could build infrastructure for ourselves, by ourselves, and we could talk about the Black community being like the Jewish community and the dollar running through us. But as we move into technology, if we're not app developers, if we don't have any, you know, networks, if YouTube decides that they're going to block us off, there's a number of aspects that we're actually almost further away from having, from being able to build a Black infrastructure that supports our own community. We're almost, in a sense, not completely, but if the youth don't start to gravitate to certain careers, and if it's the operations part, if it's the development part, if it's the security part, it becomes harder and harder for us to ever achieve the type of things that a Malcolm X would say that we need to achieve in order to have a strong Black community, if that makes sense.
But is it because, okay, there's a lot of factors that go into it. Let me change the question, because I was trying to find out what specific aspect of technology you're behind. You're not behind in electronic games for kids and youth. You're not behind in the use of the telephone and the cell phone, because every kid got one. It's definitely not behind in the use of Facebook and stuff for many kids. Many of us who have computers and stuff, when they don't work, we have to call our grandkids or kids to help us get it back on, because they're in school and they're learning these things and they're utilizing these things, and they take time to read and study and master the utilization of those things. Well, I'm asking, do you see that we're behind by design of the system, or do you see that we're behind for the lack of interest?
I think that's the same. That's the heads and tails of the same coin. By design, we could be made disinterested, right? So it could be a big systematic design that has our kids where they know how to play the video game, but they don't know how to create the video game. They know how to use the app. They know how to go on social media. They know how to post pictures, but they don't know how that stuff is made, right? So it's by design that the kids are using it, because someone's got to use it. But by design, that I think it's by design that our kids, a lot of our students that I speak with in the schools, that's not even something that crossed their mind. Or if it did cross their mind, they may pick a major. And by design, they don't have the skills to go for the major, even if we do create interest. And so I think the reason why I wanted to talk about it tonight, I think the awareness of it, that we see like, hey, this is the new strategy that they're going to get us. This is the new strategy that they're going to get us. And what things are we doing as a people to make ourselves more aware that this is the new discrimination that they're going to get us? That by design, we're either disinterested or not ready for many of the careers of the future, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but do we factor in the fact that a large percentage of high school kids are with placement homes or foster parents that may not buy them or give them the guidance? In most parents, strong parents, single or two parents, they sort of invest in technology for their kids because they have the resources, or they know, they look for places like vocational camps and technological camps instead of sports sometime. My point is that there are a lot of factors when we begin to study what students are behind. Racism is the biggest one in our curriculum because they put more emphasis on tests. But even that, students have to take it through technology, some of the aptitude tests. My other concern is, you know, we do have, we can go all the way back to key punch, when the black people worked key punch and moved all the way up to the computers today. And then, as you say, there's a difference between technology and electronics. From the standpoint of electronics, teach you how to fix things and to a certain degree. Whereas technology is a progress, it's evolutionary, it's always changing. You know, you understand, it's always changing. When I was coming up, we had the big black phone with a 25-foot cord, and you couldn't stay on it. Your parents wouldn't let you. Then they came out with the princes, and then all of that, and then the push button. We used to have rotary phones, not that push button phones, and things of that nature. And so, even when you do your taxes now, it's through technology. You know, your bank direct deposit, and things of that nature. So, sometimes, you know, we have to factor in the exposure. And having teachers like yourself give more orientations to students and try to get funding to open up technological camp. We do have Trade Tech. We do have Maxine Waters School Technology Center in Watts. But you know, when we do that, then all of a sudden the migration of Latinos reap the benefits of our struggle. Schools we used to go to, they take it. They're there now. And so as they modernize the schools like Compton High, it's being rebuilt. It's going to have a center for theater arts that Dr. Dreher, one of them, gave a bunch of money for. And it's going to have technological things in it. From the standpoint, because it's going to be built from the ground up. But the curriculum has to change, as you say, more emphasis. But how do you feel about artificial intelligence?
That's a huge beast. There's, you know, the robots that Elon Musk is building. I think it's called a Tesla bot, or I don't know if you guys are familiar with that artificial what do they call it? Right now, there's something online that the kid can Google and it'll make an essay for him.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I think the Achi, I don't know the exact name. It's wild to me because I guess we're on the cusp of something we never seen before. We don't know where this is going with as far as artificial intelligence, as far as the Tesla bots. And again, I guess my biggest worry is when we talk about technology, when you're on the side where we say, what do you think about this new technology that comes out? There's always something new that comes out. Sometimes we forget that there's a guy that created it. Right. So there's a guy that has no worry about artificial technology because he literally programmed like the Tesla bot, or he made this program so he can undo this program. He has the power over this program. You know, I would count the Tesla self-driving car as a form of artificial intelligence. That car scares me because I'm trusting someone else with my life. Right. The Tesla bots that Elon Musk has made, those scare me because even though he says, oh, the robot won't be able to move that fast. Well, that's because you coded it up and it won't be able to move that fast. But what if you put a code in an AI system that tells it to lynch all black people? And there's few, that at bot ChatGPT. Yeah, I see somebody put it in chat. That's the one that's writing the essays. And so it gets worrisome because at the end of the day, now the app developers, the coders, the people that are creating the AI system and all these new programs, they have a level of power. That power now can be used to oppress a certain group of people. And it may be us again. It may be another group of people. But that power is getting in the hands of a few. And really, they're in control of where we go with this AI systems.
Okay. Yeah, I'll let other people ask some questions.
Okay. Thanks, Professor Rowe. Thanks for the responses, Sterling. Okay, Brother Hood. Brother Hood.
I'm here.
Okay, Brother Hood is a technology teacher at Early College. So he teaches, I don't know. Can you tell us what you teach and then tell us about where you think the direction is going as far as infrastructure and Blacks and technology?
Greetings, of course, man. Yeah, first of all, I want to apologize for being late. I missed part of your presentation, Mr. Jones. And what I wanted to say is, it's definitely a big topic. And I would say with AI, it's just something that we definitely need to be at the table like with anything else. We need to have, you know, our youth at the table when it comes to learning this technology. And that's why part of what I do every day. And it's basically, like he mentioned, he definitely was spitting facts about us being behind in the programming mentally, that it's uncool to learn how to do math and certain things when it relates to technology. So that's definitely part of it. We need to start it young. But when it comes to AI, man, my investigation of it, and I've used ChatGPT for a while now, just doing certain things. And it looks like to me, you know, when you talk about Elon Musk, him and some investors basically invested to build this AI. And so in terms of how I'm looking at it, is now he sold his shares in it, and now Microsoft basically has control of it with their investments. And they basically bought it out to where they basically are controlling it. And now here we have Elon Musk coming back around saying, you know, we need to control who has access to it again. But really, when it comes to technology, it's what you put in is what you're going to get out. Once you understand the algorithms that they're using and how they affect certain things, you can control what goes into it and how it makes decisions, you know. And so some of the stuff is misinformation and a fear tactic when you look at the media and how they're really talking about it. So if we can just understand that part of it, you know, I mean, it is another step in an industrial thing, an industrial revolution. It is going to eliminate some jobs, but also create new ones. But we definitely need to get our youth involved and understand how, you know, engineering and understand STEM and how this works and how this technology, we need to definitely be involved. I teach AI, I teach coding, I teach game design and AP computer science. And so there's been a lot of investments in it, but we have to have, number one, the equipment and just being able to expose kids earlier. I mean, you don't teach math just in high school, so we need to teach, you know, some kind of, you know, technological language, you know, STEM and all these things, critical thinking skills early, just like we would a math class. But a lot of us are just exposed later and it's like uncool to do. But at the same time, we are basically at it. You know, when you think about technology and how far it goes back, we've been at the forefront regardless of what they've tried to do with it. You know, we just kind of doing certain things in different spaces, but, you know, no awareness of what's really going on as a unit. But I know I'm kind of running off a little bit, but man, appreciate the topic, you know, and definitely important in facts with what the brother was saying. You know, we have to basically, you know, come back to the table.
Right, Brother Hood. Appreciate that. Sterling, any responses to that?
Yeah, I definitely think that's really good, man. Like he said, he's keep teaching game design. If he can, man, offline, I talked to him about the AI ChatGPT because I've never used it. I just heard it from the students.
Oh, okay.
Some of them brag about, oh, I do all my essays on there, and the teachers never know, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it because I've actually been working on a show I was going to do on here, actually demonstrating some of it. And I could actually show you, man. It's really something where you can put in prompts for different things, and it'll kick back, basically like it's making decisions on what you tell it to do. And you can create essays. You can create books. You can write scripts. I mean, you can do so much, and it writes code for you. But at the same time, it basically takes helps you with production and time. So, like, if you want to write a book or an essay, you put in a prompt, and you say, okay, give me a 7-page essay on metals, or give me a 7-page essay on this or that, and it'll kick it out. But the language is going to have to be gone through. But some kids, you know, are lazy. So, you know, it does mess it up if they're trying to understand just basic grammar. So I definitely don't think that it's something that to be feared. I think it's just people need to understand, number one, how to use it, what it is and what it's not, you know, and then understand that it can eliminate certain things. Like you're a blogger or whatever, you just need articles. It spits them out like nothing. And I'm looking forward to just sharing. I'll do a couple of I'll do a show on it really soon, and I'll share a couple of things that you can do with it versus writing scripts and all kinds of stuff. It's definitely amazing. It's definitely amazing.
That'll be cool, man.
Yeah.
Excellent, Brother Hood. Looking forward to that. So, Brother Sterling, what do you have any other discussion points when it comes to the technology?
Man, I think it was Sister Making It Happen and Brother Raw. I think they really summed it up in a sense that Sister Making It Happen, and I think Brother Hood also said it, as far as us having a voice at the table. And I think that us being aware that we need a voice at the table is like the first step, you know, us being aware that, hey, we need to have a voice at the table, and knowing that that's the next chess move. And then also, like Brother Ross said, Professor Ross, there's so many aspects of technology, right? So us knowing what aspects of technology do we need to focus on. There was one brother that, let me check the names. I think it was Mashinda. And talking about the importance of our youth really knowing how to operate the systems. And then also, okay, how do the systems work in more detail? How to create the systems? And I think we had really good conversation in terms of just being aware that this is something that the Black community needs to be aware of. Like, it's not 1998 where we can kind of think, oh yeah, getting your kids in technology is kind of cool. It's not 2008 where it's like, oh yeah, it's trendy STEM. I think in 2023, it's right in front of our faces that, you know, this has to be at the forefront of what we talk about as a people and extending the people and the legacy, that we gotta have our foot at the table in terms of this technology revolution. Some people say technology boom, some people say. But I think everybody, man, has some amazing points tonight, man.
So I want to go back to J.S. Nelson to see if she, because she was driving through, she's in her car. J.S. Nelson, you able to come through clear now?
I'm still driving.
But you want to kind of tell us what you were saying earlier, because it was breaking up.
I think pretty much everybody covered what I was going to say. So,
so you did. One thing I wanted to say was, I think It was one of you guys. It could have been Brotherhood, or I think it was Sister Making It Happen. But all I think whatever endeavor that's needed for Black people to be a part of, it has to start at a young age to engage us. The kids have to get exposed, and like whoever was saying that they have to start learning the language early, just like if it was math, you know, when you start with the basic four operations, you know, you need to start with those basics early in elementary to get the kids going. And I know when I was in elementary school, we were starting to get that information. When they first started teaching computer, I don't know if it was called programming, but I remember in grade, I think four, they were starting to introduce us to these computers, and they were telling us things about it. So, yeah, I would say it has to start at a young age to engage more young Black youth. So when they become, adults, they would be more literate. And, you know, if they choose to go in those directions, they'd be able to because they have the background. So, okay. We will take, somebody had said something in the chat. Is there any other comments from anybody else?
Oh, that was me, man.
Okay. Now you said you can.
Yeah, I got in. I logged into it, the ChatGPT. If you let me share for a minute, I could share something real quick. I do a couple of prompts, and you can okay. Just y'all can just see how
let
it
me give you access
how you run it
share.
And how it works.
Let me give you access.
All right.
Okay, you got access.
All right.
You don't mind there, Sterling, right?
No, just real quick. So, can you see my screen right now?
We see it.
All right, so this is it, and then these are all the prompts that I've ran. It keeps track of all of them. And once you get in, it's basically chat.openai.com. A lot of times, if you try to go to the site, it's going to take you to the paid version. There's two versions, one that's free, that's always going to be free, and then one that you got to pay for. So, like right now, if I said, if I type something in, give me a prompt, man. I'll type it in real quick and see where we kick back. I'll say, give me a...
Black community and technology. Let's see what it kicks back on that.
Give me a list of top Black people in technology. Kimberly Bryant, Mark Dean, Tristan Walker. Okay. Tony Prophet, Dr. Shirley Ann. Now, Mark Dean, definitely, he created the first gigahertz chip, Mark Dean. And I always talk about this dude here. He worked for basically IBM, electrical engineer from Tennessee, still alive. And another brother that was from USC, Jerry Lawson, I wanted to mention him. He created the first video game cartridge with the USC. And so this is what it is. And I can also have it write paper, so write me a, let's see, 8-paragraph essay on this topic. It is extremely fast, too, and it'll stop, it'll pause. It'll allow you to go back and forth for a few times, then it'll crash and you need to reset. And so you can actually just sit here and just go through and actually build something out if you got the time and you know what. And not all of it is going to be accurate. You're going to have to go through some of what it's trying to say and edit it, but it will save you time, you know, if you're definitely trying to do English writing papers or writing snippets of code or things like that. So I wanted to just share that. And you see how it's going all the way in the conclusion, and it's writing a high level English as well. It's like, you know, it's a high level. It's not really that low, but as a teacher, I've seen it and I can tell if a kid writes a paper and submits it, I can tell if they've done ChatGPT. I'll automatically say, look, you did that in ChatGPT, didn't you? And I could kind of go through, because some of the grammar you could tell, you know, it's a different level than what, you know, a sixth grader would do. But at the same time, you know, it is useful, but you can't just turn this in. There's countermeasures to scan your essay to figure out if it was AI, you know, and it's like, you know, it's a game. It's a cat and mouse game. And you can, with the other one, you can actually generate pictures, images, video. And there's a couple of other platforms as well, but I just wanted to show that. I'm also show you one other thing on writing code. I'm gonna say, give me a Python script to see, open a web page gallery with a link. So you can easily, like, I could sit here and write a whole website with this and then publish it for free on a server. Like, I actually did a lesson like this for some kids at Dominguez who were doing the networking class. And what they're doing is creating their own webpage. I was basically showing them how to create their own server and everything. So, yeah, it's out of control when it comes to the level that it kicks out. And it's only set up to the database is only from 2021. That's how far back it goes. So I can't look up certain things from this year or last year. So like if I said, what is the top selling phone in 2021? So as an AI language model, my training data only goes up to 2021, and my current knowledge is cut off in September. However, the top-selling phone was iPhone 12, according to research by Counterpoint. And it'll go off and find things. It'll even give you resources when it comes to some of the technology. Hey, go over here and try this to help you do this. So it is helpful, you know. And I got a student right now who you know, went through my whole program, graduated Cal State Long Beach. He's a software engineer. And he said, it's still new for our industry, but some developers will use it under the table. You know, if you're independent, running your own platform, you're going to do whatever you want to do. But if you're working for a company, you don't really want your staff on here because, you know, the copyright issues could happen. And so you got to really be leery of that because it's someone else's platform here, you know? And there's other platforms like ChatGPT. This isn't the only one. There's multiple types of things that do this kind of stuff. So I just wanted to share that, man. And I appreciate the time. Appreciate it.
Man, appreciate it, man. I ain't never seen that thing before, man. That's wild. I heard about it, but seeing it live was, yeah.
But yeah, it's I see a message here. Is it free of charge? There is a free account. That's what I just used, but you have to sign up. I mean, I know they can cut it off whenever they want to, but I signed up early and I got in early when they were beta testing it. And I think you try to access the site by going to chat. You type in chat.openai, chat.openai.com. And I think you can try that. I mean, it'll do lessons. It'll do PowerPoints. You could ask for slides and you know, it'll do quite a bit.
That's excellent, man. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I'm just glad to be able to share, man.
All right, Brother Sterling. Anything else?
And that's all I had, man. That's all I had, man. That's all I got.
Well, that's good. Anybody else have any last comments about the technology? Professor Rob?
Yeah. First of all, I want to thank Brother Hood for that presentation, as well as Brother Sterling Jones for his insight, foresight, and hindsight with regards to technology. But, you know, Carter G. Woodson said one time that, you know, he wrote the book Miseducation of the Negro. Well, then they updated the Miseducation of Black People. But the point is that education begins at home. And then, as Brother Sterling does, and through his baseball and through his relationships and communication with young people, you got to win the hearts and minds of these young people to encourage them to go into places that are new, places that they have to get some type of prerequisite understanding of the purpose and mission, and that's a challenge. It's not easy to get young people to do what they should do, even our own kids. You tell them to learn Spanish and computers and technology, and they look for the easy way out. You know, just give me whatever the minimum requirements to get out of high school, minimum classes to graduate, you know, whatever I got a bunch of units in, that's my major. You know, they don't come there with a major. I mean, university means you study the universe and all that's in it. And they got technological departments at colleges that you can go into, and you see a lot of foreign students in them, not even white kids. You know, they become professional students. So I think that the challenge is, again, that, you know, we have to open up more structures and processes, technology camps, computer camps, Spanish camps, just like we do in sports, and put a high emphasis on the attainment of technology and education. You can't separate it. Technology is a part of education now. And if you don't have it, you're behind. You understand? If you're a kid and you don't know how to use a phone, and it's not just going to TikTok. It's more than that, as Brother Sterling has said. So our challenge is to have more programs like this. And hopefully parents or guardians, specifically those guardians, have to step up and realize that the major curriculum determination and monitoring your kids' education is very important. I mean, I remember coming up, my parents never asked me about my homework. You know, so they just thought you learned everything at school, that's it. You know, because they didn't get past the third and fourth grade. But me, as a parent, I'm on it. What you taking? Well, let me see your report card. Let me see your grade. Let me see your homework. And turn it in. Don't tell me that you didn't turn it in, you know. And, you need a tutor. You know, we have the resource for that. That's different from a kid coming up in the project or a kid in a foster home. And so, you know, and that's where a significant amount of our kids are now. The effects of drugs, alcohol on parents and kids is a monster. You know, I mean, sometimes you just dream your way or float your way on top of the roof. You know, cloud nine. You know, we got to get away from that. And that was the issue. And so it's good to have brothers like Sterling and Hood in the school. And you too, Rasha King, to teach our kids how to do word problems and how to figure those and make equations themselves. And that's what real math is. Can you make an equation and interpret it? So I'm just glad to see Hood in technology, Sterling in Rasha T in math. That gives us a lot of hope for the struggle, brother. You know, when you have insight out. Strong brothers, like you said, black men. I mean, one black women, you know, we always had them. But to see brothers that really mastering in their craft of technology and math. That's all I had to say, Roger.
Appreciate it, Professor Ra. So next, we're going to look at next week. Tomorrow we have Sister Making It Happen. She has her show tomorrow at 4. You can check the website. I think she's talking about, well, you just have to check the website. Her show is at 4. Next week, I have Brother DX coming back. And the topic is hip-hop music frequency shift. So that's going to be very interesting to me. And it should be to everybody else if they listen to that title. Hip-hop music frequency shift. And Professor Rye, we have everybody for Monday.
Yeah, we have Damian Goodman, who'll be on May 1st, who talks about Crenshaw and Leimert Park and what they're doing to try to keep it black with regards to buying property and offering low-income homes and trying to buy the Crenshaw Mall. And I mean, they're doing amazing things. So hopefully we'll have them.
That'll be excellent. I hope so too. So Brother Sterling, I appreciate you coming on this evening. Really appreciate that. Sister J.S. Nelson, Brother Mashinda, Brother Hood, Sister Aziza, thank you also. And we're going to say each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Have a good evening. Brother Sterling, I need to talk to you. All right.